The following podcast is taken from a live broadcast on Inspire FM.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to the Arise Success Show, where we aim to highlight inspiring individuals and their journeys to success. My name is Jihad, and I'm your host in this show. Dear listeners, today's show is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take any questions, but please feel free to send or WhatsApp your thoughts about the show on 0777-948-1822. Alternatively, you can comment on Facebook as well. So our guest today is Shanila, who is a holistic fertility expert. She is the CEO and founder of Holistic Pin Cups. Her expertise extends to providing natural and successful solutions for women facing fertility challenges and a spectrum of women's health and womb-related issues. Shanila would like to give other women hope and alternative solution to help their problem. As one of our themes of Ramadan this week is about putting trust in Allah, we will be addressing this in today's show, inshallah. So Shanila, so lovely to have you with us on the show today, and welcome to the Arise to Success Show. How are you doing?
I'm doing, alhamdulillah, completely fine, and jazakallah khair, and I'm hoping all the listeners are having a wonderful Ramadan.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair for that as well. So Shanila, firstly, if we can talk a little bit about, you know, a little bit more about you, if you can tell us more about you, and what is Holistic Pin Cups?
Okay, so Holistic Pin Cups is my brand. It came from, before I used to be called Holistic Hijama because I was a normal hijama therapist. And then I decided to go into acupuncture and to learn more about the womb. And so then I had to have a name reflecting on it. So I came up with the Holistic because all my treatments are very holistic. And then the pin for the acupuncture and the cups for the cupping, because that's central to what I do.
Love it.
My story is like any other successful business. It's based on a pain point, a self-evaluation and a self-diagnosis as well. And what happened was is I got married and I found it hard to conceive. And it took me 6 years to conceive my first daughter. And then subhanAllah, she was born prematurely. And then I had my son who was also born prematurely. And so like maybe most people, I was feeling a bit like, hey, I want a natural birth. I want to experience a natural birth. I want to breastfeed my child. So that yearning led me to my first miscarriage. My first miscarriage led to me to my second. Two became three, and three became four. Four is a nice number, to be fair, but subhanAllah, I suffered five miscarriages. And then I was like, well, what am I meant to do and what's my purpose in life? Because my fifth miscarriage was in Pakistan. That's another story in itself. And subhanAllah, what happened was is that I was very close to getting my uterus removed, so I was strongly medically advised not to try for any children. And I was very sad, and I was like contemplating, and I was just rolling on social media, scrolling away. And my son came up to me and he said, "Mommy, don't do that. It's not good for the baby." He was 6 years old at this point. And I said, "Well, there is no baby." And he looked at me and he went, "Why does it happen to us?" And so subhanAllah, I had that realization, and I had to make a choice. Do I now become a mother yearning for a child that she couldn't? Or now do I stand up and become a therapist, helping those who can and have the possibility of motherhood? And alhamdulillah, that's what I chose. And that and there was Holistic Pin Cup was born, fueled by my own by my own desires. And now I have the pleasure of helping hundreds, if not thousands, of women successfully and naturally get pregnant. And it's my honor, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. That is amazing and so powerful, subhanAllah. And 5 miscarriages. Wow, subhanAllah.
And each miscarriage has a story, but I don't think we've got enough time.
Right, subhanAllah. I mean, one is enough difficult, subhanAllah, and you've gone through 5. But subhanAllah, as you said, it's like it's Allah's plan to get you where you are now and help so many other women, inshallah, and gain the reward for that as well, because that's very rewarding, inshallah. So that's amazing, subhanAllah. So with that, how do you help women facing these difficulties in order to have that natural solution?
Well, in my 2 decades of experience, what I have realized is that the woman, she only needs 3 Bs for a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And the first B being belief, positive mindset. Mm-hmm. So for belief and positive mindset, I am about to launch my program called Fertility Whispers, where mm-hmm. we dive into the psychological and emotional turmoils of what yearning and infertility brings onto a woman, with feelings of, I'm never going to be a mother. Am I really worth it? Can I actually achieve what I really want to achieve? And mm-hmm. so these are the kind of mindsets. And, you know, women, we go through anger, frustration, guilt, shame, anxiety, and all of these emotions are addressed in that program. And then my second B is body, because we need to get the womb ready for a pregnancy. We can't just say one day I want to be, the body's not letting you get pregnant, and then we have IVF and all of a sudden the pregnancy happens. No, we need to nurture the womb. We need to get the womb ready. We need to get the womb ready for an implantation and maintenance of a healthy embryo. So this is my second, it's called the womb flow map. Mm. And thirdly, which is the most successful, and how I've come across this by design, but also by accident, because I didn't realize how powerful it was. But it's my 7 steps to a successful pregnancy, where I go through all the steps that a woman needs to get her womb ready also, but it's all the homework that she needs to do. And I think we're going to speak about that a little bit more, so I'll stop there.
Okay, so that's amazing, mashallah. So belief, body, and what was the third one?
Mindset, belief, body, and
okay, so that's interesting. Well, you mentioned about the belief, so I'm wondering here, because that question came up in my mind, does mental health impact on being able to have children?
100%. 100%. Wow. Because your mindset tells you, because I've had clients come to me and they're like, sister, I'm never going to be a mother. And I'm like, well, bismillah, you're correct. And they look at me and they're like, I said, well, if your mindset is that you're never going to be a mother, that's the message you're giving to your mind. That's the message you're giving to your heart. And your second heart is your womb.
Wow.
So you're giving that message to your womb, and you're inadvertently also making dua to Allah, because then the tawakkal is not there. So how can I fight that? I can't fight that, but I can help you change your mindset, no problem. But you need to be there's a cycle of change, and the first cycle of change, point zero, is denial. Denial of self, denial of the deepest dream that you have. And then you go on to the first step, which is determination, contemplation. So you need to start contemplating, am I worthy? Can I really achieve this dream? And it always has to be positive, and it's deep rooted in our psyche and in our mental health.
This is powerful, subhanAllah. What about So that's in terms of the mindset. What about those who are going through difficult time there and it's really impacting on the mental health, they like depression, for instance, anxiety and so on and so on. Would that have an impact on their body being ready or not being ready to be to have children and to get pregnant?
Of course it is. But it, again, a gift of a child is from Allah. So I will never say that someone who's depressed or has so much anxiety, they're never going to get pregnant. No, sad. They are going to get pregnant because it's always a gift from Allah. And Allah knows, because Allah doesn't bear, he doesn't burden the servant more than he can bear or she can bear. So Allah knows if you, how you're going to take this test and when it's the right time to give you the blessing that you need or desire.
Absolutely. So it comes down to the action and tawakkul on Allah, both put together. So with the action, as you said, like when clients come to you, they're ready to take the action, but tawakkul is not there. So it needs to be both hand in hand together.
Of course, because I always say, Ya Rab, this person has come to me with the desire and the wish, but you are the giver.
Yeah.
And I go, Ya Rab, just keep my izzah. Because I'm just giving you the tools. I'm giving you the tools and how to implement it. Because, like, wouldn't you agree that information, it's available everywhere? You know, like Google is full of advice on how to get pregnant. But the implementation is so hard. And I was once advised by a very wise person, and they said that if you have a goal and if you reach that goal, bismillah, very good. But if you can't reach that goal, there is no shame, there is no guilt in going to somebody that can help you reach that goal, be it pregnancy, be it self-development, be it business, be it personal. Everywhere we have the goal of getting married. If we can't find a partner, we'll ask our friends or family or go to a marriage maker. There's no shame in this. If we have mental health issues, same thing. We should have no shame in going to a qualified therapist and seeking the help we need. Because again, that is the tawakkul. Because Allah says, do the action and then put the trust in me.
Absolutely. Absolutely, very important. So, JazakAllah khair for sharing this. And I'm just going to remind our dear listeners, just in case anybody joined us a bit later, is that we have Shanila with us on the show today, who is the CEO and founder of Holistic Pincups. Her expertise extends to providing natural and successful solutions for women facing fertility challenges and a spectrum of women's health and womb-related issues. Shanila would like to give other women hope and alternative solution to help their problem. And just a reminder, dear listeners, that our show today is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take any questions. But please feel free to WhatsApp or send your thoughts about the show at 0779-481822, or you can comment on Facebook as well. So Shanila, mashallah, the things that you've shared are very, very powerful. And when I've heard about your work, I thought, it's more about giving natural remedies, like natural medication, for example, natural supplements. And that's what I always hear about, you know, those who want to get pregnant, they take natural supplements if it's not working, blah, blah. So I never knew all this work about the belief and the body and the mindset and how it impacts on getting pregnant. SubhanAllah, this is new to me. So this is really, really powerful. And inshallah, it's educating our dear listeners as well about how important that is, and inshallah to help them in that process, inshallah to have children for those who are struggling. Now, I'm wondering, does it work differently for different women, or do they all get the same results? And are results immediate? Does it take time, or does it again depends on person to person?
Everybody is an individual, and I would love to say that everybody's journey is so easy. But that's, qadr Allah, not the case. I have extreme cases. I have very difficult cases. I have medium cases. And I have, on the books, easier cases. Sometimes an easy case will not result in a successful pregnancy. And subhanAllah, then we have to start looking at the board again. What's really unique is that I always work on individual diagnostics.
Mm.
I don't know if you've ever heard the term a bun in the oven. So
no.
when someone's pregnant, in English term is she's got a bun in the oven.
Mm.
So it means that a baby is cooking in her womb. And mm-hmm. so I always say that, you know, we want buns in ovens. We don't want cheesecakes in fridges. So sometimes mm. women can have what we call in Chinese medicine, a cold womb. And this mm. is what I'm always looking out for. And this is the first thing that I'm looking when I'm individually diagnosing my ladies. And mm. so, again, sometimes I always try and give an honest timeline. So mm. I sometimes say, well, inshallah, we'll have one treatment. And then I'm hoping that by the time we have the second treatment, because my treatments are always 3 months apart, that inshallah, you might not need to come to that one. Or sometimes I'm like, no, you definitely need two treatments. And sometimes I'll be like, listen, we need longer time. Instead of coming every 3 months, I want you to come every 6 months. So I try and be as just and as clear with all my clients as I can.
Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming this will depend on the belief the person has, for instance, and things like that. Is that right?
Not the belief as much as the action. Are they actually mm-hmm. going to implement the steps mm-hmm. that I've asked them to implement? Because
right.
again, I always call myself, I'm the annoying sat-nav person, sat-nav. So when you're going through the journey, yeah, if you don't follow the instructions, is it the fault of the sat-nav?
No.
Because
that's a nice way of putting it.
Because the sat-nav's job is to give you the clear, concise directions.
Yeah.
And then it's our way of, you know, like we have to follow them instructions. But alhamdulillah, yes. I also provide that if you take a wrong turn, I'm still here for you to give you alternative directions to get to yes. your destination. Yes. I'm always using it. My clients are laughing all the time. I'm using analogies of cooking. I'm using analogies of motorways and of yeah. all different things. Because, you know, medical jargon, it becomes a different language and it becomes so overpowering. Yeah. What do these acronyms mean? What I can make it so complicated and give myself the thing that, oh, I'm... Sorry, that's my cat.
It's okay. It's lovely to always have cats.
And I can give lots of advice, but the advice has to be tailored to your situation.
Yes.
And that's absolutely. What makes my whole treatment plan completely unique.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, I love the examples that you give because then they can relate to them. Like when you said the annoying sat nav, I was like, you know what? That's true. Actually, when I'm driving and I'm trying to take a different route, it keeps reminding me I need to go back. I was like, I know, just be quiet. But it's taking you to the right direction, right?
Yeah. And I do have my clients that decide to give them their own directions. And I'm like, did I ask you to do that? No. I'm like, okay, let's be rude again.
Exactly. So I really like the examples that you give here because it makes it a lot easier to relate to rather than, as you said, the medical terms. Not many of us are familiar with those medical terms. So that's quite interesting. And I was wondering here as well, what could impact the results for how soon it happens, if there are any? So, for example, apart from following the plan and, you know, going towards... following the sat-nav and listening to it and listening to its direction. Is there anything else that could impact how soon the results happen? Or, as you said, it's about having that tawakkul, Allah taking the action and inshallah making dua and hoping. Go ahead.
No, there are, if you have any medical diagnosis, or I have some women that suffer from something called PCOS, polycystic ovaries. I have women that suffer from endometriosis. I have some women, which is painful periods. I have some women that have got low AMH levels. AMH levels are low egg quality and quantity. So there are lots of medical issues that we have to take into account and all of that. But that doesn't mean that if you've not been to the doctor, I can't help you. But sometimes if you've not been to the doctor and you're having my treatments and we're not getting the result that we wanted, then I would strongly advise that, like, okay, it's not, this journey's not going how I expect it according to my experience. Can you start going to the doctor, please? And I always like to have the plan B of the doctor. So I will always advise that start your journey of making an appointment with a doctor, because the waiting lists are terrible. They are so long that I would rather have a plan B in action just in case, you know, because again, it's not always successful. And sometimes IVF is a beautiful option that Allah has blessed us with. You know, a few, like, only maybe about 15 years ago, IVF was unheard of. And so subhanallah, you know, and again, it's again the tawakkal. But if our body is ready for IVF, then we're more likely to get an IVF success rate. Subhanallah, I had a woman, she had 7 IVF fails and then she had her child, and now she's 40 years old and she wanted her second child. And subhanallah, she had 1 IVF fail and then someone told her about me. She did my treatments. My IVFers, I'm always giving the analogy. Listen, I live in Manchester, so I'll always give Manchester's example. I'm here in Manchester. You guys want to go to London. I am Birmingham. I am Birmingham, the service station. I'm not saying go there, but I'm just saying take a break, refuel, get a little bit revitalized. Let's get your womb ready. And then we go to London and we're successful. And that exactly what happened, alhamdulillah. You know, she's pregnant. She's waiting to give birth soon, inshallah. And alhamdulillah, at 40 years old, second IVF successful. Whereas when she was 35, she had 7 IVFs. So subhanallah, she really can't believe it. But that's the power of getting your womb ready for a pregnancy.
Well, subhanallah. And also besides that as well, the tawakkul that we've been talking about is that it happens at the right time when Allah wills it to happen, and taking the right action as well, subhanallah. I was wondering when you mentioned 40 roles, because it's, we always hear that when the woman turns 40, she can't have children. And can you tell us a bit more about that?
Okay, so what happens in terms of fertility, the younger the woman is, the more fertile her womb is, okay? And so we get at the age of 35, 36 is what we call our peak. So we have peak fertility at that age. And then after 35, 36, well, I would say 36, 37, then it slowly declines. But seriously, it slowly declines. It's not that, like, you have your 40th birthday and all of a sudden you're infertile. You know, it's a slow decline. So really, like, the oldest successful pregnancy I have achieved is with a 46-year-old, subhanAllah. But that was a lot of hard work on my part and hers. You know, it wasn't, she did a lot of work. I would say she was 75% responsible for the success rate. I was just 25%, but she followed Satna very well. And so subhanAllah, she really did put in the effort. But alhamdulillah, I think if you are like 42, 43 with regular periods, I really don't have any worries with your success rate. But it, you have to bear in mind that it might be take a little bit longer, or there might be some kind of difficulties, or like it's not guaranteed. But I think after the age of 44, I would say that it gets quite hard to get a success rate like that.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. SubhanAllah. And you also, before we go for the break, you mentioned about, you know, being in Manchester as well. I'm just wondering here, if our dear listeners are listening and they're not in Manchester, they are interested, do you offer online service or is it just in face-to-face?
So my Fertility Whispers program is a group of women and we do weekly Zoom calls. So that's all done on Zoom and it's all done. So it doesn't really matter where you are in the world. But when it comes to the physical treatments, I do offer online consultations, but I prefer that you come and see me. And alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. I regularly have my Londoners come to me. I've had people come to me from the UAE, from Turkey, from Ireland. So subhanAllah, I've been spoiled by my clients, because I'm like, yeah. And plus what's easier is that they have to come every 3 to 4 months. So it mm-hmm. becomes mm-hmm. a journey. Mm-hmm. And they make a nice day out of Manchester. They have a nice overnight stay, and they enjoy the sights that Manchester can bring.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've heard it's beautiful. I haven't visited myself, so it is in my list to come sometime, inshallah, because I've got a few friends there as well. So I'm like, okay, Manchester, inshallah. I'll put it in one of my holidays, inshallah, which I don't do so often now, but inshallah, hopefully. So Shanila, that was amazing, inshallah. We're going to go for a break shortly. So just to remind the listeners that we have Shanila with us on the show today, who is the CEO and founder of Holistic Pin Cups. Her expertise extends to providing natural and successful solutions for women facing fertility challenges and a spectrum of women's health and womb-related issues. Shanila would like to give other women hope and alternative solution to help their problem. So dear listeners, please stay tuned. This is Inspire FM Luton on 105.1. Please stay tuned. We'll go for a short break and inshallah we'll see you shortly.
Asalaamu Alaikum, this is Atif Nawaz. Listen to Inspire FM shows in your time by heading over to inspirefm.org or listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, welcome back. This is the Arise to Success show. We have Shanila with us today, who is a holistic fertility expert. She is the CEO and founder of Holistic Pin Cups. Her expertise extends to providing natural and successful solutions for women facing fertility challenges and a spectrum of women's health and womb-related issues. Shanila would like to give other women hope and alternative solution to help their problem. And just to remind you listeners that this is a pre-recorded show today, so we won't be able to take any questions, but please feel free to text WhatsApp your thoughts about the show at 07794811822. Alternatively, you can comment on Facebook as well. So Shanila, this has been a really, really interesting conversation, subhanAllah, and I've learned a lot of things that I never knew about, you know, preparing the body to for women to get pregnant, and how the mind, the body, the mindset are all part of that process as well. And I'm hoping, inshallah, that our dear listeners listening, inshallah, benefiting from that. So before the break, we were talking about all of these things and how that impacts on, and as well as, you know, other things like health issues that could impact on for women to have children, and that they need to consult with the GP when it comes to that situation. So now if we focus a little bit more about that tawakkul, we kind of touched upon it before the break as well, during the other things that we're discussing, but focus a little bit more about the importance of putting trust in Allah and having that tawakkul, besides of course taking actions to help the situation. As I said, we've already talked a little bit about it, but if we talk a little bit more in terms of that importance, and it's not just one or the other, but both of them put together.
Tawakkul is so beautiful. And if you look at the Quran in Surah Al-Nahl, they say they are those who remain patient in this world for Allah's sake, and they put their trust in their Lord, Allah alone. And subhanAllah, sabr is a beautiful action. Mm-hmm. And what people do is sometimes I like to highlight the misdirected sabr. Yes. Because when we ask Allah for sabr, sometimes Allah will give us more tests because we're asking to become al-sabarun, the sabr. Yep. But we should always ask, and I always tell my clients, please always ask Allah for sabr bil afia, safety and security, because you want the sabr, but you want it within safety and security, and you have to have that tawakkul. And again, in Surah Ibrahim, it says, and why should we not put our trust in Allah while indeed he has guided us our ways, and we shall certainly bear with patience all the hurt that you may cause us, and in Allah alone let those who trust put their trust. Because our society, our in-laws, our friends, ourselves, we give ourselves the hurt. The hurt is never from Allah, it is from society. And we can choose to use that hurt in two different ways. I chose to to repurpose my hurt by helping others. I could have chosen to repurpose my hurt and just become at home and do nothing. Mm-hmm. And just be depressed and just be really, really anxious. So we always have that. And, you know, the trust in Allah is so difficult to explain because it has to be done by action. Mm. Your trust is, like, I can give the metaphor that you're asked to go fall off a cliff. And you've got the harness on, you've got all the safety, you know, with the bungee jumping, you've got all the safety net and everything. And so, you know, you've got the safety, you've got the bil-afia, and you've got the sabr because you've decided that you're going to bungee jump. But then there's that moment where you have to have pure tawakkal that Allah, you've got this. Allah, you've got me, you've got my safety, and you've got to close your eyes and you have to have that tawakkal and you've got to jump. Because it's only in action that true tawakkal is shown or is given. And it's in the actions of the test that we are also given by Allah. So it's really, really important for us to understand. And really, you know, the mindset, we're a bit arrogant. We say that, you know, like when it comes to babies, we're like, well, the periods were here, we had intercourse at the right time, why aren't I pregnant? But subhanAllah, that is maths. 1 + 1 = 2. But we're not mathematicians here, we're farmers. The farmer, you know, and it's really interesting if you think about it, like the word barren, you know, the word barren for barren lands that nothing can grow. And then we're called a barren woman if we can't grow a baby. It's a beautiful analogy. And then what do we do with this barren land? Because the land, it doesn't mean that it can be barren forever. If we start cultivating the land, if we get rid of the weeds, and then we start nurturing it with the best nutrients, we start cultivating it, fertilizing it, giving it water, sustenance, oxygen, blood supply. But then we can also, we make that land, the womb, fertile. And then we plant the seed. But because we've planted one seed, does that mean that it's going to grow? No. We need a few seeds and we need the most important ingredient, which is tawakkal. The tawakkal of Allah. It will be the permission of Allah that this plant will grow in this barren land.
Wow, I love that. SubhanAllah, I never thought of it like that. So this is very, very beautiful, the way you're describing it. And it's making a lot of sense that we are the farmers and one of the ingredients is tawakkal. This is so beautiful. And I'm hoping a lot of listeners, inshallah, are listening to benefit from this, because it certainly has made a lot of, you know, shift in the way I view it. You're giving a completely different perspective that I personally haven't heard before. So that's amazing. I was really interested to learn a little bit more about what you said, patience bil-afia, right? Because that reminds me of a story of, you know, we make dua for certain things, but we don't ask with the afia, with the safety and security. And one of the stories that I've heard is a woman that was in another country that happened, in one of the Muslim countries. And she was praying that she gets 3 million without having to work hard for it. And it happened, but it happened by her son being killed. And that was the diya that she got, the money that she got for the murder of her son. So subhanAllah, you know, asking, when you said that, asking for what you want, making dua for what you want, because Allah will accept, but ask with the afiyah, with the safety and security. So I wanted to give that example to make it clearer. And also if you have it, you know, if you can elaborate on it a bit more in terms of what is safety, what is security that we should be asking for when we make dua.
You know, it's really important with the safety and security. And we really, really have to understand this. Mm. And I always say that. But the thing is that, you know, it's really important, because when we say, oh Allah, give me, I ask for you for afia. Now, afia means to save oneself from any afflictions. To be healthy is also afia. To have enough money is also afia, because you need money for these treatments as well. To live is also afia. To have one's children protected is afia. And most important, to be forgiven and not punished, because that's afia. So when we ask for afia, we mean, oh Allah, protect me from any pain and suffering, including both the dunya and the akhirah.
Yes.
Which is so beautiful. And it's Allahumma inna as'aluka afia. Oh Allah, I ask you for afia. And it's a dua that I always ask. And it also comes from the hadith where Ibn Abbas, the uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, teach me a dua. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh my uncle, say, Allahumma inni as'aluka afia. So, oh Allah, give me afia. I ask you for afia. And it's so beautiful. And when I came across this concept, my mind was blown, because I remember in one of my miscarriages, my sister, she was in Tesco's, and she met one of my good friends, and she said, oh, how's Shanila? And she said, well, you know, she's had another miscarriage. And my friend phoned me up, and I don't think she understands the words that she gave me, but they changed my insight, they changed my life. She said, Shanila, remember, everything that happens from Allah, there's goodness in it, but it's our inability to know the truth and to know the future, and that we can't perceive the goodness. And now I sit here saying that there was only afia in my five losses. I wouldn't change it for the world, and Allah is my witness, because I hated the test. It was really hard, and it was difficult, and it was really, really agitating to my soul. But the afia and the lessons, if I never had this, I wouldn't be the person I am today. If I never had them tests, I wouldn't understand what afia is. If I didn't if I didn't have these tests, I wouldn't understand what tawakkal means. And I wouldn't have the reliance that I have with my Lord now if I never went through them lessons.
Yeah, subhanAllah. And on top of all of that, being able to help so many other women as well, mashallah. So that has led you to where you are now.
And you can't, you would be a fool to say, well, why did all that happen?
Yeah.
But again, it's our inability to know the future, to know Allah's plans.
Yes, absolutely. SubhanAllah, so beautiful. JazakAllah khair for sharing this. And I'm just going to quickly just remind all the listeners is that we have Shanila with us on the show today, who is the CEO and founder of Holistic Pincots. Her expertise extends to providing natural and successful solutions for women facing fertility challenges and a spectrum of women's health and womb-related issues. Shanila would like to give other women hope and alternative solution to help their problem. Dear listeners, if you have any questions, unfortunately, we won't be able to take it live on the show because this is pre-recorded, but please feel free to text or WhatsApp your thoughts about the show at 0779-481822, or you can comment on Facebook as well. So Shanila, mashallah, the stuff that you've been sharing are very, very powerful, and specifically at Ramadan, with having that, putting that trust in Allah and having that tawakkul, besides taking actions, as well as you mentioned upon, you touched upon a very important subject as well in terms of patience with afia, because that's something that, one, we learn about patience, unfortunately, not in the right way in terms of the way I see it is giving up. That's how we've been taught patience, right? But alhamdulillah, you've given a really, really nice explanation of patience besides asking for patience and making dua with afia as well. And you've gone, you know, in detail about what afia is and how we can ask for it. So JazakAllah khair. Now, coming back to your service and talk a little bit more about it. As you serve, mashallah, is all based on it's all natural in terms of, you know, you focus on a holistic, basically, treatment, the mind, the body, the belief, and so on. sorry, I missed my question here, so apologies. Yes, so as a soul natural, do you recommend all women or only those who are struggling to get pregnant? So, for example, you know, when I'm listening to you in terms of the belief, the mindset, the body, it's something that I feel even before they try to have children, it's something that's important to have in place. So that's why I'm wondering, is it just for those who are struggling, or would you recommend prior to that, that they come for that treatment?
Oh, Jihad, you've just said the right things. May Allah bless you. 100%. Get your womb ready. Get that barren land. Get that land, even if it's not barren, if it's slightly fertilized, get it even more fertile. I have girls coming to me that have got painful periods, have got PCOS. The periods are not coming due to exam stress and things like that. I've had 16-year-olds come through my door because an auntie has come to me for marriage, you know, to get pregnant, and then she's got a niece that's going through the kind of the same journey. And instead of now letting this niece suffer for all these years and then finding a solution, they've come straight away. So subhanAllah, I offer what I call my 3D womb treatment, which is a non-fertility. So meaning we're not asking to get pregnant. We're just trying to get our womb ready and our hormones balanced, because balanced hormones are so important in terms of our mental health, in terms of our, well, mental health and our health in general. And it filters in to the whole of our things, because if you have one moody teenager, the whole family can suffer. So you know, and it's really important. And plus, like, it's like an MOT check. What's wrong with having a check and getting your womb nice and in check and having your periods in nice check? Because periods are not meant to be painful. Periods are not meant to, you're not meant to be having medication or a paracetamol or an ibuprofen when you're on your period. Period are natural. Period is a natural way of having a little bit of rest, you know, giving yourself some rest, it's your winter time. It's time to go inwards. It's time to, you know, live according to your seasons.
Oh, this is interesting. So let's talk a little bit more about that, if that's okay. Because I know a lot of people go through it, thank you, go through the period and they have severe pains. I have family members, it comes to throwing up and not being able to move out, you know, to come out of bed for a few days. So if it's not supposed to be painful, why are there some people struggling and having a lot of pain?
Because again, it comes to our lifestyle diets. It comes to us not looking after ourselves, to all the processed stuff that we're eating. The sugar levels, the chocolate levels, the salt levels are completely ridiculous in our diets here in the West. We're not looking after ourselves whatsoever. And, you know, and again, you touched upon it before with the supplements. Yes, supplements are really important, but that's only one step out of a 7-step process that I provide. So it is there. It is important, but it's only like maybe 15% of the solution to a big problem. So supplements are beautiful and they're really good, and it is important to have, but you need also a few more other ingredients as well. And one of them ingredients is also a holistic lifestyle. I'm not saying let's all be hippies and work on the land. I always try and give practical advice that my clients are more likely to follow. So I will look at the person's lifestyle. If you are very healthy and if you're into that, I'll go in more detail. But if you're not, I'll give you some steps that you can implement, that you can then balance your hormones. And again, it comes back down to our deen, subhanAllah. In our periods, a woman is told not to fast. So if you're fasting, if you're on your periods today, you're not going to fast. Why has Allah given us, why is it that Allah knows our bodies the most intimately?
Yes.
If Allah has said that we can't fast in our period, that means Allah is putting emphasis on our rest. We're not allowed to fast. We're not allowed to pray. SubhanAllah, and praying, we were created to worship Allah alone.
Wow.
And yet, And yet we do not give ourselves permission to stop in our period.
Wow. Wow. You know, subhanAllah, there were so wow moments in this conversation, subhanAllah, because
am I thinking there's a few podcasts in the makings here?
Subhanallah, you know, the things that you're giving is things that we don't hear about. Like, you know, you're supposed to be resting, for example.
And this is what it is, it's giving the permission. Like, I remember when I first gave this seminar about the women's seasons, and I said, and they were like, wow. And I'm like, Allah is giving us permission to rest, but yet we are not giving ourselves permission.
Absolutely, absolutely. Subhanallah. This is interesting. I could go on forever, but we've got 5 minutes. Well, actually, no, not 5 minutes. We've got 7 minutes, right? But I still want to talk a little bit more about this topic in terms of the fact that we're not praying. For example, praying is a form of exercise as well, right? The movement and so on. How important is exercise during period, before period? Because what I notice is that when I'm exercising, I don't get any pains. But when I'm not, because I'm out of exercise for a while now, because I've got an injury, there is more pain than usual, or a little bit of pain. So how important is that?
It is important, because when you're exercising, you're circulating the blood supply to all of your body. And when the womb has enough oxygen and blood supply, it's going to work better. Just like when a car engine has got good oil, then it's going to work better. If the oil has got a bit cluttered, like, come on, man, the car gets a service every year. The woman doesn't. Yeah, the woman gets, you know, doesn't there, right? I'm thinking of a joke where they said that, you know, like the bins, they get taken out more than the Muslim woman. Totally off topic, but that's what I'm
No, but the examples you're giving is like, it makes somebody think, wow.
Yeah, but subhanAllah, so that's what it is then we need to keep ourselves in running order. So exercise is hugely important. But if you're not exercising, then on your periods to start exercise, not a good idea. If you are normally exercising, then you just take it down a notch. So you don't go into fourth gear on your period. You're on gear one and two on your period. But then after your period, then you go into gear three and four as well.
Wow,
I told you I like my analogies of cars and all sorts.
Do you like cars, by the way?
My son is a 17-year-old and he's training to be an auto mechanic, so I think I'm getting to know a lot about cars then. And my husband is a very car fanatic, and he's got a motorcycle as well, so yes, I'm very much into cars.
So that's the influence of the environment on you.
I know, that's why I don't give that many baking analogies, because I'm not a very good baker.
I love the examples you're giving. Very different, very unique, and it just makes it so easy to understand. So keep using the car examples. It's fantastic. That's really interesting. And we touched upon an area that I haven't even planned for, which is the periods, which is a very important topic. So jazakallah khair for that. Before I go to the last question, I'm just wondering, are you active on Instagram and any social medias that where people can actually learn a bit more about what you do? Because you're providing a lot of interesting things that we can't, you know, fit a lot more in 1 hour. So I'm wondering whether you are active in one platform that people can actually learn more about it.
I'm most active on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Holistic Pin Cups. I am doing a little bit of TikTok, but not that much. But my main home is Instagram. So I'm an Instagram girl through and through. I am now getting invited to talk on different platforms, and I am hoping to do a little bit more speaking and maybe practical workshops if the demand is there. I think that's very much a ream that I'm thinking we need to speak a bit more about it. We need more of a Muslim Women's Health Summit or something like that.
Absolutely love it. And I'm sure you're going to mention all of these things in Instagram, inshallah, so others are aware of where you are and inshallah can follow you for more. That's great. Last question. Is there something women can do to prevent any fertility challenges from now?
Look after yourself. look after yourself as much as you can. Eat clean. My biggest tip is think you've got diabetes and act accordingly. If you like, I have some of my girls and they're like, "Auntie, I don't like you anymore because I know exactly when we're naughty." I'm like, yes, my biggest thing, because when we say Mediterranean diet, we think of pasta, we think of all the unhealthy Italy foods, Italian foods. When I say diabetic friendly, us in the South Asian community, come on, everybody knows the rules of diabetes. Whether we follow it is a completely different narrative, but we do know the rules. If you want to do anything good for your health, eat diabetic friendly. Biggest tip.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, biggest tip, reduce the sugar, reduce the processed food, drink more water. Okay. Like, look at the people of Gaza, subhanAllah. There's no water, and it's the biggest rahmah. And we in the West, we can't be bothered drinking water. Why? Because we need the toilet. Our toilets are upstairs. We just need to do 10 steps and we're on near the toilet. Think of the other people in the world. That, you know, that the toilet is not near, but yet they will still drink the water.
SubhanAllah. This is powerful. JazakAllah khair for that. Very quickly, in 30 seconds, Shanila, when it comes to sugars, for example, is it something that we shouldn't be eating daily, every other day, a few times a week? How does it work with sugars?
Again, there's so many hidden sugars, so you need to start looking. But then it's better to get rid of the obvious sugar and just leave it for like the two Eids.
Oh, wow. 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 That needs another talk, but we've got to end the show. It has been amazing having you. JazakAllah khair, Shanila. I've learned a lot, and I'm hoping, inshallah, our dear listeners have learned a lot as well and found this beneficial. And feel free to follow Shanila on Holistic Pink Cups on Instagram to learn more, inshallah, about the amazing work that she's doing and the tips that she's providing. JazakAllah khair, everybody. Thank you, Shanila, again. Please tune in to our next show. Dear listeners, we have Arjumand, who is an entrepreneur and Quranic guidance coach for Muslim women. So please do join us. And inshallah, I look forward to seeing you next week with another theme for Ramadan, inshallah. JazakAllah khair, everyone. JazakAllah khair, Shanila. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Why not tune in to our live stream at inspirefm.org and follow and subscribe to our social media platforms at Inspire FM Luton.